I was going to be a smart aleck and say, and I think I'll leave it at that. I wouldn't have to say anything anyway. Listen, thanks for asking me, Jan. Good evening, all. I'm Brendan, an alcoholic. It's nice to be with you all. And I may have, but I can't remember if I've done this 6 o'clock meeting with you before, but it's nice to be here. My home group is the Raynham Saturday morning group at 11 o'clock UK time. But I may have been in here once or twice before. Anyway, I know Jan said at the beginning there, is there anybody celebrating a birthday? And I'm not celebrating an AA birthday, but I remember this morning, it's a bit of a nod anniversary for me today, because today, the 1st of June, it was today, 31 years ago, that I began my first, sorry, my last hangover. So my last drink was the 31st of May, 1993. And I eventually woke up this day, 31 days years ago. No idea what time of day it was. I'm guessing it was after midday. Very unwell, very sick, very hungover, and not really wishing to be alive. I can guarantee you of that. Anyway, it was the end game for me. And it was the 3rd of June, 93, when I finally held my hands up properly and said, "I need help." I hadn't intended to ask for help. I just blurted it out to my employer. So I did my own intervention. Anyway, I'm going to keep an eye on the time here because I talk too much, but I promise I won't talk too much this evening. When I do a chair, I'm better at shutting up than I am when I share back. That's one of my negative traits. But anyway, I'll keep an eye on the clock here. I'll try and keep it. I will try and just say a little bit what it was like before I drank. Not much of that. There's not a great deal to say to anyone here. But what it was like when I was drinking, I think we all know what it was like. Depending on, I'm going to assume everyone's alcoholic in one way, but I'm not. Of course, there might be people here for other things, and I'll then try and keep the rest of it, whatever amount I can, to how I've managed to stay away from the first drink. Anyway, I was born in the northwest of Ireland, big family. I believe I may have had an inherited vulnerability to alcohol. From what I seen growing up as a kid, I absolutely hated alcohol. I hated what it did to people I cared for and loved. And I was quite positive that I would never drink when I grew up. Absolutely positive. I said I'd never smoke and I'd never drink. I haven't started smoking yet. And I don't intend to, but it was a shock to me that I even started drinking. Most times I think I had an okay childhood. I was taken care of. I was properly fed, given a good education that was made available to me, whether I used it or not. And I felt safe most of the time. Yes, when I was just coming into probably my teenage years, things were changing in my family. Certainly, my father died when I was 14 years of age. It's not an excuse, it's nothing to do with my alcoholism. But of course, that would have been a catalyst for raw thinking as I got a little bit older. So yeah, it was an okay childhood. Lots of older brothers and sisters to take care of me and give me advice. Much of it I took, and much of it I didn't. Much of it I wouldn't have been mature enough to take. But anyway, I had my first drink on a school trip to Amsterdam when I was 16, and all my mates. I'm not very tall. I'm short, so all my mates that were buying alcohol in Amsterdam were so happy to be served alcohol, and then with the scene. A shorty like me getting it as well. They were very upset, but I just joined in as a teenager. So I knew from the get-go I shouldn't be drinking. I just knew it. And that started the early days of my drinking was drinking on a Friday night, getting very, very drunk, mostly being sick, certainly, often doing silly things or having silly things happen to me, swearing off it on the Saturday because I had hangovers and embarrassed, worried about having to go back to school on Sunday, and then on Monday couldn't wait for the following Friday so I could get drunk again. So the obsession with alcohol formulated very quickly as an out. And I guess a lot of people, young teenagers in general, and other people look forward to that drink on a Friday or whenever, for the right reasons. For me, it was because I needed it. I never looked into it. I just needed it. And yeah, the addiction had started. I'll just run the clock forward. When I did finish school, I didn't go to university. I used the excuse because my father had died, my family couldn't afford it, even though lots of brothers offered to pay for me to go to either college or university, but I chose to work. I got good jobs, reasonable jobs in Ireland, and that's when my drinking really did take off because I had money in my pocket. And I worked in Dublin for about 3 years, the capital of Ireland, and my drinking really certainly took off then. And then I did a geographical over here to London, where I live in the UK. Did the geographical because I thought I was going to lose my job in Ireland. But that's when my drinking really did take off. It really did. And I had a job which was shift working, so I could be working very late or very early. And so it kind of, and it was a job that lent itself to drinking copious amounts with lots of friends and all the rest of it. And the usual old nonsense happened inside those years. I got into a relationship. I took somebody prisoner in a relationship. She was a lovely lady, but she had had a little girl from a previous relationship, so that was perfect for me. She'd have to stay at home and look after her daughter when I went out drinking. And I played the old games. And there was lots of guilt, lots of remorse, but never sufficient enough to stop me drinking. And lots of problems, lots of troubles. Got scars all over my body from falling down and all the rest of it. Abusing other people and being abused, all the usual stuff. Anyways, I'm turning into a drinkalog here. Throughout all this was a main thread. There was a lot of unhappiness deep, deep down inside. There was a lot of fear, a lot of embarrassment, and a lot of the pub where I would go to the pub. I really did need my drink. I felt like I was a very false person. I had no self-esteem. A lot of the time going into the pub, I felt like I'd have to recreate and start from the beginning with any people I knew. I thought everybody sussed me out every time I walked into the pub. I thought they knew I was a fraud. And then after a few drinks, that comfort that we get from the first few drinks, that I certainly got, would kick in. And then I thought everybody was delighted to be in my company. So within the space of an hour or so, I went from thinking I was the worst thing in the world that nobody liked and cared for or wanted to be around, to thinking everybody's here because I'm creating an atmosphere. That's, I'm saying that in general. This is actually not it. I'm not the truth, is it? I made up my own reality. But I'd had enough. I was 27 years of age. I knew enough about alcohol. I'd had enough trouble. And I was deeply unhappy. I'd had, even from the age of 19, I'd had one or two attempts at suicide. I realized there weren't real attempts. There probably were those cries for help that people have. I'm not saying that it's just because I was an alcoholic, but I did that. But I was lucky. I told my employer when I was 27 I had a problem, and he probably didn't need me to tell him. He knew, and he sent me to a counselor. I worked in an industry where it's safety critical working, so they had a good system of helping people who held their hands up to having addiction problems. And the counselor was great. He really was the start of my recovery. He told me things that made sense. I told him sometimes a lot of the truth, and other times I dampened it down a little, but he was too clever. He knew. And he was very realistic. He said to me, he said lots of things, but the thing that what comes to mind most was he said, "Get to AA, you'll be okay." And he told me stories, one or two stories about people who had even gone into recovery and unfortunately had probably had relapses because they hadn't changed. And for some reason or other, they are two of the stories that just remain with me right up to today and probably will to the day I die. It sounds good, doesn't it, to say that I remember the story about change as if I'm always making changes, but please don't let me fool you into thinking. I just remember that story and it's a good one. And it's a reminder that maybe I'm not doing enough on a daily basis or throughout periods of time to make changes to my life. But it was a great start and I loved AA. One of the important things that I said to the counselor as well, because I knew people in my family and others who were in recovery and went to AA, I thought it was religious. I genuinely thought that you had to believe in God if you came to AA. My family were my parents were Christian. I'd given all that up at an early age, not because I hated it or anything. I just didn't believe. I just simply didn't believe. At the time, I thought it was complete nonsense. I'm a bit more gentle in saying that it's disrespectful if people have a faith and a belief. I don't say that it's nonsense. It is what it is. But at the time, that's the way I felt. But this counselor said something to me. I haven't got a clue. I can't remember what Nigel said to me, but he said enough to me to make me feel that it was okay to come to AA. And a few months into recovery, somebody said to me, I brought up the subject again about God because I was listening a lot. And he said, just use the collective wisdom of the rooms to help you in recovery, which was great. But more importantly, and I genuinely know and accept that it's not the same for everybody. This is just my story. I was delighted to have stopped drinking. I really was happy to have stopped drinking because, as I said, from the get-go, I knew it wasn't good and it wasn't working. It wasn't working from the beginning. It caused me too much upset and trouble. And I certainly stopped growing up. I hadn't any life skills and I hadn't certainly any coping skills. So this opportunity to get sober, get well, and I did do the steps. I did focus on the steps with a sponsor in my first year, but just mechanically, I was more happy to say, I'm doing the steps. And if he'd said to me, part of this particular step is to stand in a corner for an hour and scratch your head, I would have stood in the corner and scratched my head and told you I've stood in the corner and scratched my head. So it was just about saying I'm doing the steps because I was just too happy to be sober, and that's just the way it was. I did go through the steps again, the traditional steps again, a couple of years later because my first sponsor went back to the States. He came from the States, and yeah, it was a little more thorough at this second time round. I don't really remember a great deal of it. I had left a few major things out from my fourth step, no big deal, and shared them with my sponsor. I'm glad I don't have to share them with anyone again. And I think it's a great thing. I think the steps, whether you do them under the traditional notion of AA, the original steps, and not worry too much about the God thing, or if you do use and focus on the Geoffrey Munn steps now, it's a great thing because it's just all it did for me was kind of expose the things to me that I needed to change. I'd love to say I did change them all, and I didn't. Again, depending on which way the wind is blowing, depends on me. I'd have to say that in the main, I'm obviously a very happy person to be sober. I've had some huge, wonderful times in sobriety. One of the things I always wanted to do was travel, see the world a bit more, and I've done lots of that in sobriety. Whereas as life is life on life's terms, and I've had lots of situations as well that I walked straight into with open eyes and said or did the wrong things. I was an absolute calamity when I was drinking in relationships, and there's an excuse for that. I was drinking, but I'm afraid it came very, very slow to me to know how to behave myself in primary relationships, one on one with another human being. And I got married after about four years sober, and the marriage only lasted 4 years, and I certainly played a big part in that, obviously. And she was a lovely lady, but we had different paths to follow. And then I got into another relationship with a really wonderful person who was also in recovery. And it was a complete and utter disaster because, and even still to this day, I care a huge deal for that person. But I had done so little growing up and had so little understanding of what's genuinely required to have a proper one-to-one mature relationship with somebody. And I think I displayed levels of selfishness beyond even my own belief to this day. And I'm in the longest relationship I've ever been in now at the moment. And boy, when people say we have to work through things, I only look back now and I think, shit, yeah, you do. You do, don't you? Because my current partner, at least 6 years ago, said to me, there's the door. You've got to leave because you've got an anger problem. So that's maybe a bit longer, sorry, about 8 years ago. So I was 22, 23 years sober at that time, and I have somebody who I'm supposed to love and care for telling me I've got an anger problem. So I had to go outside for help. I had to go and get lots of help with my anger, and I'm pleased to say I'm still in that relationship today, and we're doing well in it. Sometimes I still slip up a little bit, but that's what happens, I guess, in relationships. So that was, that was a major thing in recovery that I hadn't dealt with, my ability to get angry very, very quickly. And there's a whole host of things that you could feed into that and why I allowed that to happen. And I guess in some ways it was obvious, and in other ways not so obvious, being fearful and all the rest of it. I've had three bouts of where I've gone for outside help for various things while in recovery. And I would definitely say that one of the main threads that came up each time looking back, and particularly the last time, was that from a young age I did become someone who was almost like a carer, and having to control things that you shouldn't be expecting a 12 or 13-year-old to control. Nobody asked me. Nobody told me. It was just the way I allowed it to happen. So I brought that with me like a domino effect into every aspect of my life from there on in. And I caused not just myself but other people lots of problems. And I missed out on a lot of happy times and peaceful times and contented times because of that. But at least I was able to hold my hands up eventually and say, I need some help. And I got the outside help, and it was great. I should say as well, having said all of that, I was certainly not forced, but I got into service very quickly when I came into AA. I got into service really quickly, which was really good because probably for various reasons, I'm selfish for the right reasons sometimes, to take care of myself in a nice way, and then selfish for the wrong reasons. But doing service and getting stuck in was something that I can't, if there is anybody new here, and I hope if there is, that they're doing well and taking care of themselves as best they can and not worrying too much. But do try to get yourself into some service. It gets you out of your own head, or at least it did with me. And that was a great thing. And I've kept in a service position right throughout. And that has definitely been a deliberate thing to do. Before I finish up, I'm just looking at the timer. Back in 2019, I mentioned, I think, earlier that I'm the youngest of a very big family. There was 12 in my family. My parents had 12 kids, and I'm glad they had me last because I always used to tell them they got it right in the end. But I don't think that's true. But so you can imagine, I'll be 59 this year. So my eldest brother, he's going to be 80 this year. So I've seen a lot of shit over the last number of years. I've lost brothers and I've lost a sister and all of that stuff. And thanks to the help that I've had from AA and other people and everything, I've been able to cope with those things. But back in 2019, around the same time as one of my brothers passed away, I had a massive, I'm going to label it a breakdown, and I hope that's not an abuse of somebody who's had serious breakdowns. But I was barely fit to function. I started getting massive panic attacks and huge anxiety, and I had to go for help for that. And I was on medication for 9 months for it, and that was the start of a whole new way of having to assess how I live my life. In fact, I drove to a meeting one morning, one Sunday morning, when I was going through all this, and it's only about 15 minutes away from my home. I drove to this meeting. When I was at the meeting, the meds that I was on hadn't fully kicked in, and I started to get a panic attack, and I couldn't drive home. It took me about 3 hours to get home before I could get into my car. So I opened up a meeting down the road so I could walk to it when all that was going on. So I used to hear that resentments was the main reason that people went to, or people opened up AA meetings. It was said in jest, I know, but I can also say too that panic attacks are a great way to get new meetings going as well. But why did I say that? Because it was the start of a new journey into having to look at new ways to take care of myself. And I've had recently, I retired 2 years ago, and it was 2 years ago when the shit was hitting the fan. I thought it with the world and everything was going up, all the prices were going up, and I was thinking, oh my God, my pension's not going to be enough to keep me going. So I had a little bout of anxiety around that as well. So I went for help for that as well. Just around the middle of last year, I actually went for hypnotherapy. If anyone's thinking about it, I'll be glad to share my experiences with you around that because it was fantastic. It was really good. The lady, I had three sessions of hypnosis, and it was wonderful. It was really good, and it helped a good deal, and it was very revealing as well. Why am I sharing this? The reason I'm sharing all this is that the anxiety is something that I'm having to look at as much as I am not picking up the first drink, if that makes sense. Maybe that doesn't make sense, but I have had to do things that is probably suggested as a tangent to a lot of the steps. Certainly Geoffrey Munn was a great help, and other people, Roger, who's here, has helped me out with a lot. I've started swimming, I've started going to the gym, never did any of that stuff.
And I've started using meditation as best I can. Not very good at it, but I do get a lot from it. I do when I can relax and enjoy it. But there's no doubt about it. Probably the biggest change of all in the last 12 months is I never learned how to swim, but I'm learning to swim now. Not good at it, but I'm really enjoying it. In fact, I'll be there tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I can't believe I'm saying that. I've always wanted to say that. I hated people that said they went swimming at 9 o'clock in the morning. But I'm doing that and I am enjoying it. And I'll wake up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock and kick myself for booking a 9 o'clock swim, but I'll still do it. And I'll enjoy it. And as I said, I'm going to the gym and different things. And it was Roger who told me he swims, and I thought, well, I'm gonna try a bit of swimming and see if it helps. It's 25 past. I've said more than enough, and probably not enough in many ways. I could tell you a million and one stories. The most important thing is, of course, I feel fortunate that I haven't picked up that first drink. I've pushed my luck more than once, more than twice actually, but I haven't picked it up. My hope, what's my hope? My hope is that I stay sober, needless to say. That's for me. Stay sober with all your help. My other hope, actually, in terms of staying sober, is that secular AA grows and grows and mushrooms. And alongside that hope is that it's great to see you all on the screen here. It's really lovely. It's wonderful. But I'm getting to that point where I actually want to meet up physically with people. I love fellowship. I love fellowship. I want to be able to raise a mug of tea or a coffee or whatever in face to face with you guys. So I am retired now. So it's something I'm going to put my time into to see what can be done at base level, along with others in recovery, to see what we can do to get together and maybe work together with the Geoffrey Munn steps. But I will definitely finish in this. I am going through the Geoffrey Munn steps with someone else in recovery now. So we're kind of co-sponsoring, if you like, each other. And the fact that I'm doing it makes me feel good. You know, whether I'm doing it right or wrong, who knows? But it's good to be sober. It's good to be here this evening. Thank you for asking me, Jan. And I do apologize right now in advance if I've gone on for too long. But lovely to see you all. Thanks, Jan.